We are going to open up the public hearing this morning on House Bill 1053. Are there any proponents for House Bill 1053? And again, we would hope that all of the people who are going to testify today have signed in, and please sign in legibly. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. I'm here to talk about House Bill 1053, and what that bill does is to revise some of the dispositions.
Would you state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Regina Weisler with the Department of Social Services.
And you may want to bring that just even a little closer to you. Thanks.
I'm the administrator for the Office of Child Protection Services here in Pierre. House Bill 1053 revises the statutes that deal with the dispositional decrees of cases involving child abuse and neglect. In order to better understand how we get to the dispositional decrees, I think it's important to understand the process of how children do enter the system as a result of abuse and neglect. Child Protection Services provide services to children in need of protection and their families. Services include responding to referrals alleging abuse and neglect, alternative care, intensive family services, licensing, and adoption. Child Protection Services receives referrals of child abuse and neglect involving families who have a caretaking responsibility for children. Referrals of abuse and neglect which meet the criteria for assignment are either assigned as an investigation or an assessment. Referrals appropriate for a family assessment involve incidents in which children do not appear to be in imminent danger and removal is unlikely. Assessments are designed to identify family strengths and needs of the whole family. A social worker may work with the family for a period of up to 6 months to address the issues and strengthen the family. An investigation is a fact-finding response to a referral. It includes gathering information through collateral contacts with others who might have knowledge about the family, such as law enforcement, schools, the medical community, and interviews with the children and their parents. If the facts of an investigation are not sufficient, then the case is unsubstantiated and closed. However, if it is determined that the child has either been abused or neglected, or is at risk of abuse or neglect, Child Protection Services will develop a plan with the parents to improve the situation while maintaining the children at home. If a child appears to be in immediate risk or danger, the child can be removed either by an order of a judge or by law enforcement taking protective custody. Child Protection Services does not have the authority to remove children from their homes. When court action is required, an abuse and neglect petition is filed with the state's attorney. A series of hearings take place before the judge. The first is a 48-hour hearing at which time the judge looks at the evidence presented regarding the reasons the child was removed from the home, and a recommendation is made as to whether or not the child should be returned home or whether the child should remain in care. The judge decides that and then continues the court action. If abuse neglect court action continues, the next hearing is the adjudicatory hearing. At this hearing, the judge determines if the parents have abused or neglected their children. If the judge decides that the evidence does not support a legal finding of abuse or neglect, the case is dismissed and closed. If a decision is that abuse neglect has occurred according to our statutes, the judge then orders the parents and Child Protection Services to work together to resolve those issues. The next court hearing is the dispositional hearing, which is the hearing to determine the outcome of the case for the children and for the parents. Options for the judge to consider are return the child home, place the child with a relative, legal guardianship, long-term foster care, or in the most severe of cases, termination of parental rights with adoption. That brings us to the reasons for the proposed amendments to the statute today. The proposed amendments will revise the dispositional decrees entered by the court for abused and neglected children. In November of 1997, Congress passed the Adoption and Safe Families Act. The act required states to make legislative and policy changes regarding children in foster care and their permanency. Legislation was introduced both in 1998 and 1999 to address the federal requirements. However, the final rules regarding the act did not go into effect until March 2000, and as a result of those rules, they require additional legislative changes. If these legislative changes are not made, the state can be penalized federal dollars for our program. The previous rules allowed a child to be placed in long-term foster care if the court approved a plan which named the specific foster family for the child to be placed with. In the statute, it allows the court to order the placement of a child in long-term foster care and specify the name of the foster family. The new federal rules do not allow use of federal funds for foster care in cases where the court orders placement of a child with a specific family. The bill includes a change that will delete that option to order long-term foster care and name a specified foster care provider. Instead, the act requires the court to find that a compelling reason exists to order another planned permanent living arrangement if reunification, adoption, placement with a relative, or guardianship are not ordered as a permanent plan for the child. The bill includes the requirement that the court find that a compelling reason exists to place the child in another permanent living arrangement rather than using the terminology long-term foster care with a specified provider. The act also requires that a permanency hearing or a dispositional hearing be held 12 months from the time a child enters foster care and thereafter every 12 months while the child is in the custody of the state. The bill amends those statutes that are missing those requirements. The court must also make a determination during the dispositional hearing that the state, Child Protection Services, is making reasonable efforts to achieve the child's permanent plan as long as the child remains in the custody of the state. The bill amends those statutes that are missing those required provisions.
Thank you. We'll hold any questions until all the proponents have testified. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1053? If you want to just stay there, it looks like there are none. We'll open it up for committee questions. Representative Van Etten.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm concerned. First, I would like a definition of permanency hearing, and then I would like to state that I'm concerned about the fact that by changing this, there is no provision for the child not moving from one foster home to another. Do you have internal rules that would prohibit that?
Yeah, the definition of a permanency hearing is at least at 12 months after the child enters care, the department, the parents, their attorneys, the child's attorney, and the state's attorney appear before the judge and talk about where we are at in relationship to the permanent plan for that child. If the permanent plan is return home, we will be talking to the judge about what steps are left to be taken before that can occur. Or if things are not going well and we're recommending placement with a relative or perhaps legal guardianship with another individual, or in some cases termination, the department would be there explaining the reasons for that. And the judge would make a decision saying, I believe this family has made a lot of efforts and I think it's worth working another couple of months to return these children. Or it looks like it's not going very well and we need to look at other options.
Follow up.
Please. But it says, in no case may a child remain in foster care for a period in excess of 12 months. And then on line 22, then on line 24, it says, again, the court shall review the child's permanency status and make a dispositional decree every 12 months. Well, how many times can this 12-month period be repeated?
Until the judge agrees with the recommendations of the department regarding what happens with the child. The purpose of the permanency hearing is to make sure that children do not languish in foster care, that there is a continuous review before the court at least every 12 months, and we often go in every 6 months. Anytime we feel that there's a change in the case, we can request the state's attorney, as can the parent's attorney, to go in before the judge and state the issues at hand.
Go ahead, Representative Bennett.
One more, please. As I recall, the governor, I think in the State of the State address, said that we were going to improve kids' situation as far as making adoption available sooner. How does that fit with this?
The permanency hearing is so that it is reviewed, and when things are not going well, the department can make a recommendation regarding termination of parental rights. The other piece, in order to move kids to permanency quicker and hopefully maybe into adoption quicker, deals with Senate Bill 53 and reasonable efforts. And those very extreme cases where we have expended considerable resources and efforts with a family and they are not changing and the child remains at risk and it would not be safe to return home.
Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question on the 12 months. Is that set federally or is that something arbitrarily that the state has established as a time frame?
That is set federally. The statute back in 1997 used to read 18 months. And then the federal government has now said 12 months.
Representative McCoy.
Thank you very much. I do daycare for foster kids, so I can maybe answer some of his, but I also have a question, too. There's a six-year-old that I take care of that I've had every year. It keeps going back to mom and then coming back, and then she has more babies. Now she's got two more. But also the availability of an adoptive family has to do with this, right? That determines how many times it goes back and forth to mom?
No, not necessarily. When rights are terminated and we're looking for an adoption family, there is no going back to the parent once rights are terminated. We have no further involvement with the parent.
Until the rights are terminated. Because, like I said, this one I've had since she was this size, and about every year I get her back because mom does okay and then mom doesn't. But now she's got three of them, and they can't find, according to what the judge is telling me, they can't find a home to take all three. And you try to keep the siblings together too, don't you?
Have rights been terminated in this particular case?
But yes. She keeps going back and forth from foster care because mom messes up everything.
And some of those issues would be addressed in Senate Bill 53 as far as providing reasonable efforts to situations that are not changing.
That is the longest, though, that I've ever known for one to be in foster care.
Representative Soule.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The changes that are made in 1053, are they all made because of the need for us to comply with federal regulation?
Yes,
they
are.
Is that the purpose of the bill?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Follow-up question?
Certainly.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. It says in here that the department has custody of the child. Does the department have custody of a child all through this process?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and how many children, follow up, how many children then does the department have under this arrangement? How many are you responsible for?
Currently just a little over 1,000 children.
Thank you.
Any other questions of proponents? Representative Van Etten.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You didn't answer my question about internal regulations as far as child care situations, foster home situations. Do you have something that tries to prevent at least the ping-ponging of kids from one foster care situation to another?
Yes, we do. Currently, we have about 567 licensed foster homes in the state. We continue to recruit so that when we do place a child in foster care, we are able to match the needs of that particular child with the strengths of the foster family. When you have the availability to do that type of matching, that prevents children from bouncing from one home to the next.
Any other questions of proponents? Seeing none, thank you. Are there any opponents for House Bill 1053? Any opponents? Seeing none, the chair closes the public hearing on House Bill 1053 for committee action and or discussion.
Madam Chair.
Representative Davis.
Because this is a cleanup bill and it's something that's required to continue our federal funding, I move to pass.
It has been moved by Representative Davis, seconded by Representative Nesselhoff, a do pass on House Bill 1053. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye. Opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Abdullah?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Davis?
Aye.
Cross?
Aye.
Hunstad?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
McCoy?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Van Etten?
Aye.
Van Gerpen?
Aye.
Sholem?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Madam Chair.
The vote is 13-0. House Bill 1053 has passed. Representative Davis.
I move consent.
Representative Davis moves consent. Representative McCoy seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion passes. House Bill 1053 moves to the consent calendar.